Hello and welcome back to another episode of Big Fact Snow Cap, the only podcast that's number one with city livers and witty hipsters.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
Cap.
No cap.
We didn't do a preamble before recording. Is there anything off mic? How's your week been?
Pretty good, pretty good, pretty chill. Nothing too crazy. Just woke up from a nap.
All right, I don't think that has to be off mic, unless you don't want your ops to know your routine so they can't get you.
I don't want them catching me lacking or sleeping.
Are you lacking when you're asleep?
Yeah.
I keep that piece on me, you know? Sleep with one eye open.
I'm honk-shooing. I'm not like a dolphin.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, Adrian. You're not a honk-shooer. Honk-shoe implies a charming sort of snore. You have a very aggressive and uneven sort of snore.
Manly. Rustic.
Ghastly more than manly. Beastly.
Distinguished.
No, I wouldn't. Not distinguished. That's not quite the word I was looking for.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're going for a real colonizer mindset here. Okay. The brown man snores like a beast. That's crazy. That's crazy to say. I wouldn't be on record saying that.
It's so hard to get one over on you. You always hear the subtext of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Can't get over on me because I already know what the underneath is saying.
How's your week been?
Pretty good, pretty good. I finally had some time this weekend. The main feature of my weekend was just taking out the electric bike for a spin, and it took about two rides to get used to it.
And have any of your roommates brought up the electricity bill in relation to you having electric transportation now, or is that just something where you're plugging it into the wall and hoping that it doesn't come up?
So the question is, have any of the one roommate that I have asked me about the electricity bill from the bike that I've had for 2 days? That's a good question. And you know what? I want to say that's a good question. I want to take it very seriously. And I'm going to go ahead and say, unfortunately, no.
I don't know. If I saw my roommate get an electric bike or something, I'd be like, wait, that feels like it's really, maybe we should rethink an even split on the electricity bill.
No, that's in our contracts. No, that happened once when we had a guy with a 3D printer in our house. But
continuously for like hours.
Oh yeah, he would turn it on at night. Mine just gets charged every now and then, and probably not even that often. But like in the space where I keep my electric bike, one of our old roommates used to have a dedicated personal freezer, so I don't feel bad about it.
Oh yeah, okay.
For his hunting meats.
Oh, that's kind of cool though. If he shared,
he didn't.
Isn't that the whole thing about people who hunt? They're always like, I have too much. Somebody take it off my hand.
No, he never cooked inside. He only used a grill, except when he was making frozen pizza in the oven.
Is this like a Joe Rogan guy?
Oh, you know, no, not really. Just more of like a liberal who hates Trump, but is kind of conservative in every other way and likes to hunt and stuff.
Isn't that like the guy who just put up shots at the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
The guy who was an obvious plant so that Trump could talk about how they need that ballroom?
People have uncovered his blue sky, and I think it's a real person for sure.
He was on Blueski?
Yeah, he was a real libbed up person. He was a real like get angry at leftists for not voting for Kamala kind of guy.
Oh, so he had to take it into his own hands.
Yeah, Ukraine was the real motivating issue, it seemed like, for him. He was really anti-Hassan too, which is funny because a lot of people right after the shooting were like, you see, this is when you have Hassan in politics. This is the type of violence you're asking for, that all this guy's blue sky posts are like, this guy's a moron. He's pushing people away from our proud Democratic Party.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. The Democrats, feckless in their ability to create effective shooters. That's insane.
Well, here's the thing. It's, you know, extremism of ideology and extremism of action don't necessarily correlate. There's a lot of leftists who aren't like very extreme in their actions. They're very rule followers. And I guess you can be a centrist who just believes in extreme action to push a centrist agenda.
You know, I believe it was Martin Luther King who said, it's not whether or not we become extremists, it's what kind of extremists we become.
Mm-hmm. I like that you're kind of the Wilson of this podcast. You're like my neighbor who drops profound little quotes for me.
Who's Wilson? Why do you have a volleyball for a neighbor?
Wilson is Tim the Toolman Taylor's neighbor from Home Improvement, and he always drops like a quote that Tim Allen then misquotes to his wife as a
gag
every episode.
No, I actually learned that one from the new Vince Staples music video where he ends it with that. Pretty interesting song. Good song. I liked it. I want to go back to roommates really quick before going, unless you had more to say about the shooter from the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Who was the comedian for that, by the way? Are they getting anybody for that now?
Yeah.
I don't know who's taking that job.
What comedian would do it now? You think they're going
to... Theo Vaughn?
I was going to say maybe they would get Kill Tony.
Oh,
maybe they would get Tony Hinch.
Yeah, Tony Hinchcliffe. So among a few other things that I bought offline for the office, for my bike, for home, I got a microplane finally, because I've heard of how useful it can be in the kitchen. Take it out of the box, show my roommate. I'm like, hey, we got a microplane now. And she goes, oh, yeah, I already had one, but now it's nice to have one to share now. And I was like, wow, okay. We've been living together for 3 years. We're both adults. And there's a couple of things where, like, wait, I know she has
she
a chef's knife
room?
That she doesn't share.
Do you never open random drawers and just see what's in there?
No, because we do have delineated spaces. So she has a space to keep things like that. I don't know what they are unless I see them in the dish rack, which is why I know that she has her own fancy chef's knife, which, like, hey, fair game. If I get my own chef knife, I'm not going to let you use it either. The microplane? We're not letting each other use the microplane. What am I going to do with a microplane? It's literally small potatoes. It's a microplane.
I imagine, actually, you're exactly the opposite of this type of roommate, but I could imagine, I don't know why the first thought that came to mind is somebody using it as one of those, like, petty eggs. Do you remember those infomercials?
Yeah.
I just imagine a gross roommate, you walk in and they're microplaning the bottom of their foot to get rid of dead skin.
I didn't want to buy the petty egg. I had to use the microplane.
You know, Adrian, I find a lot of faults with you, but being that type of gross roommate, I don't think is one of your faults.
Yeah, I didn't get to make my food all zesty for this whole time because of her. I didn't get to add nutmeg to my bechamel.
Oh, you're doing fresh nutmeg? You were buying whole nutmegs because you heard from a high schooler that you could get high on them?
Yeah, exactly. For your bechamel, you're like, if you use enough nutmeg in your bechamel, it's going to go crazy.
No, I think that is a thing. I think a nutmeg is like
poisonous. Yeah, it's true. It just really fucks you up, right?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that just kind of kills your brain cells, so you get a high, but like only by technicality. It's like paint fumes.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you're using it for nutmeg and zest and citrus fruits.
Yeah, whereas you're using it for a little bit of garlic, the garlic mince in your pot pie that you're making homemade now.
Oh, yeah. That was fun how well that pot pie came out.
Yeah.
You just don't imagine when you make your own puff pastry. It just feels like one of those things that you fail at. What are your biggest kitchen failures? Have you ever had like something that you were a little ambitious at, maybe at like age 20, and it just came out wrong? You're like, oh, fuck that.
Ooh, a lot of sweets, because I don't really make sweets, but when I used to make edibles, I remember making an entire blondie recipe and forgetting that you're supposed to put sugar in it.
that does so sound at the like it tastes so horrible.
At the very end, I just poured a bunch of sugar and it fell to the bottom, so it had like a brittle crust, and then the rest was just unseasoned blondie. but no, I never tried to make a souffle or anything like that, nothing catastrophic.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I feel like it's something I'm aware of because I do screw stuff up sometimes, especially when I'm
making your own puff pastry is crazy, though. I know a lot of people who are like, I don't fuck with that. Like, you get it mass produced.
Yeah, it's because I had everything to make the pie and I didn't have puff pastry, and actually really wasn't hard. So I don't know. It wasn't that bad.
Okay. How far is that from making your own phyllo dough to make your own baklava?
I think phyllo dough is much harder because many more layers. I was trying to think of a kitchen disaster that I've had, but nothing's coming to mind.
You can really tell how this show has aged along with us. We're talking CPAP machines of puff pastry homemade.
Yeah, let's talk about young people shit. You do any new skateboard tricks lately?
Yeah, I did a front shove it the other day. Finally got that down.
Okay. I did a 180 backflip off the pipe. So, yeah, I mean, you're learning, though. You know, not bad.
A 180 is not that much, brother. There are kids doing 720s now. Well, the other thing is, shout out to Marshall. I was listening to someone talk about skating the other day where they were like, yeah, there are kids doing 720s now. And, like, that's what I stole that line from. It was so... Skateboarding was so new at the time when Tony Hawk was doing it that literally breaking the imagined barrier of, well, what if he did a 720? Like, he had to break that barrier so that everyone is now like, oh yeah, everyone can do that now. We just need to know you could.
Yeah.
Like, we needed to know that you physically could, and then everyone learned how to do it.
It is interesting. I mean, the same thing happened with ice skating too, right? Like, there was a triple axel burial and then somebody did it. And that now it's like, you know, considered part like of an average repertoire. Or is it like the 6-minute
mile? Probably that too. Yeah.
I think there's the same thing with long jumps where it's, you know, there was a barrier and somebody broke it and just, I think the, what is it? Is it the 2-hour or the 3-hour marathon? Malcolm Gladwell
type thing.
Is it the 2-hour or 3-hour marathon where it's like people thought it was an impossible barrier?
For which Lord of the Rings?
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, come on now. Come on. Two sounds
people
hard.
Have broken I, they all it, sound hard like to non- me, but... Yeah. I'm sure if you run marathon, that's very obvious which number is the barrier. But I think it's like one of those things where it's been broken, but in non-competition environments where like the person who broke it was running like back and forth on a perfect track, and it's like that's not how any marathons actually run.
Are you familiar with the story of the first woman to run the Boston Marathon? Has she got that Bill Burr bit? She got get out of the pool.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the guy who like organized the Boston Marathon like ran up and tried to like yank her out of the race when she ran it without by signing up with her initials or whatever. Apparently, the story is that later they became friends, but yeah, she literally got get out of the pool during the first Boston Marathon that a woman ran.
Running is also such a new sport that that had to be misogynist, 07? Like post-1970. Wait, yeah, it was like 07? They weren't letting women run the Boston Marathon?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think it's the picture looked older than that. Hey, yeah. Women couldn't vote in Sweden until 1996.
I guess like jogging and running for exercise are relatively new like American pastimes, but maybe the marathon was around in like Olympics further back than then, so maybe it just didn't become like widely popular till the 70s.
In ancient Greek
yeah, but that was for a battle. I don't think you can count the first marathon where when the guy ran from one city to another
I'm just
to
saying
warn
that
them an army
the
was
idea,
coming.
The Tony Hawk of marathons had been around for a long time.
Yeah, but that wasn't as a sport.
But it was people knew you could do it. Or they did he die at the end of his? Is that what
I
that
think
story
that was?
Was
it. Yeah, he died once he reached
he could
the
do
other
it,
city.
Though. Yeah. Can you imagine the first John Henry when a car comes around? He's like, I'm gonna.
Who's going to be the John Henry for AI? Is there somebody who's going to write for like so fast? Who's going to program so efficiently?
Summarize this passage.
Write an email really quickly for me.
In a formal tone.
That's not a bad sketch. John Henry for AI and he's writing an email.
That's not bad. It's a really buff black dude just like John Henry.
And he's writing a really passive-aggressive email to customer service. I was treated poorly when visiting your establishment. I don't have proof of this, but when you said really buff black guy, I'm imagining that we both mainly know the John Henry story from that one animated video they always showed in grade school.
Yeah, right, or the storybook, too, I think was the same artwork.
Oh, I John don't know Henry. If I read the book.
Yeah, I read the book. Better than the movie.
That stuck with me as a kid. I did like that, animated video they played of John Henry. I feel like I saw it multiple times in grade school and I was always like, yeah, this one's a banger. Put it on.
Yeah. Modernity. It's gonna leave us all behind.
I was like, I really relate to him as a buff guy trying to fight a train.
Yeah, trying to fight a train. Do you have a media roundup or anything?
No, I haven't really been. I've continued my obsession with Kingdom Come Deliverance too, so no media roundup.
Ooh. Is this something where you've beaten the game and now you're trying to 100% it, or are you still working through the main story?
No, I've paused the main quest because I could tell I was getting close to the end to wrap up side quests that seem like they're fun, so I'm just running around the world trying to find the good side quests. I won't 100% it for sure. I never really do with games, but I'm definitely going to try to do all the major side quests, and then I think I'm pretty close to the end of the main plot after that.
Damn. Are you worried about getting to the end of it?
No, I want to be freed from this hell.
Oh, okay. But you were willing to pause near the end to be like, I do got to get to the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff. There's like a quest where you're finding dragon bones, but the whole game is like set with like a realistic tone. So it's like the whole time you're like, these are going to end up being dinosaur bones. And they do. And it's, you know, it's kind of funny.
And you know that they are? That's cool.
Mm. Nobody in the game knows because it's all old timey people and they're all like taking it very seriously that somebody's found dragon bones. Rubes. Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, the main thing it's taught me about the Middle Ages is that everybody was a jackass who was going to betray you on a dime. It's just a world
full of
dicks.
That's who got by.
That's who got by back then.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this isn't a fully formed thought, but you know that like performative cynicism of old men where they say stuff like that? I guess it's like almost analogous to like, oh, follow the money, or like, everybody's lying. You know what I'm talking about with like performed cynicism like certain old people have with like, everybody's
we have
a
some
cheat.
Of that with young people too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Young people have this YouTuber got canceled and they're like, yeah, never liked them. Always thought they were bad news. Never trust a man on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Okay, that's on me. That's ageism.
Yeah. Speaking of which, this is a media roundup, but it is a story. I went to the bar down the street from me. So many times I've learned the lesson that I need to stop going there. But I met the owner. I was there on a Monday. I was just trying to read my book so that I could make it to book club with Emily. And so I was just going to grab a drink and read all night. And instead, the owner comes up, starts talking to me because I'm one of three people there. He starts telling me about his philosophy about the world, about what's wrong with this world. And the first example he decides to bring up is kids with their pants sagged down, which is not only a thing that I don't think is true anymore, but also is just like the most Fox News old white guy thing. And so he's trying to tell me about like, I don't know. It's the second time at that bar someone's complained to me about people with their pants sagging down. I was like, is that even a thing? Like, that's not even a thing. Like, kids don't even do that anymore. What are you talking about?
It does feel like you found a man who just woke up from a coma.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. It was
it
just
sounds like he's going to start complaining about how you can sue anybody in this country. It's like, is that a thing we still complain about? I thought we were over that one. I don't know.
Oh, the McDonald's lady. Come on. You didn't know coffee was hot? I'll tell you what, I know how we solve this problem of kids sagging their pants. We beat them up or whatever. And I was like, what is wrong with you?
Wait, what? We beat them up?
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, you know how we can solve that issue? It'd be really easy. We find one of these kids, we beat them up, pull their pants all the way up to their neck. And then when the other kids start saying that they like sagging their pants, I don't think he's going to say he does too.
Why does this sound homoerotic? Why does this? Like, you know how we fix it? We pull those pants down a little bit more.
Yeah.
We fuck them in the ass.
Yeah, no, it's it was just the most
we beat them up and pull up their
yeah, as far up as we can, and then they'll learn not to wear their pants too low, a thing that happens all the time.
There you go for performative,
and is also a very real problem.
Complaining about pants being too low really is so performative at this point because it doesn't happen.
It's also not a problem. Like, I can't stress that enough.
I do like the idea of this guy. Every time you go there, somebody complaining about an older and older thing that doesn't exist. At one point, you go there, and the guy's like, what's with all these priests charging us for indulgences? I can't get into heaven without paying the Catholic Church anymore.
Okay, Martin Luther.
I think that was like a 15th century
thing.
That
one's at least legitimate, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think that one has some staying power.
Claudius, he's not like the old emperors, you know. Augustus, that was a real emperor for you, baby. These kids don't know anything.
So that was some thinly veiled racism of the day. What else did I actually want to talk about? Three movies I'm gonna give negative and or to middling reviews of, but I think I have some stuff to say about them. Citywide Fever, talked to you about that one. It was a part of the Sacramento Midnight Movie Fest. Best part of it, Ian Fidance playing a cab driver for like 10 minutes. It was very hilarious. The rest of the movie is very low budget, but very fun. Dust Bunny, it's on HBO Max. It's got Mads Mikkelsen in it and Sigourney Weaver. I watched it because I thought that a YouTuber that I liked recommended it, and then I looked it up afterwards. She actually just had it on like a what's coming up this month to be excited list. She didn't actually say it was a good movie. And so when I looked it up to see like, why the fuck did she like this movie? The next review that came up in the search was a review that just said, Dust Bunny, who is this movie for? And I think that's basically my review of it. It's like a Willy Wonka children's movie that's also a horror action that I did not enjoy. It's also kind of looks like a Wes Anderson movie. It's a bizarre one. I don't know if I can highly recommend it because, once again, I don't really know who it's for. But the other movie that I watched was Over Your Dead Body. It's the Yorma Taccone directed movie with Samara Weaving and Jason Segel. First of all, I'll say, well acted. Jason Segel is a better actor than I thought he was. This is going to be one of those Adrian, like, I don't like John Wick rants that people are going to get mad at me for. It was a horror action comedy that I think just had too much action in it for me. And it's not like the brutalness of it or the gore. Like, that's fine. I don't love it, but it's fine. But like, I think I said this about Speak No Evil. In a movie where like tense things are happening, quote unquote, and you get to your 15th, oh no, the bad guy has something lethal pointed at the good guy. I wonder if someone's going to come save that at the last second. Like, once you get to 20 of those in a movie, what are we doing? It really starts to lose steam.
But you know what didn't lose steam? That train while racing against John Henry.
Hey, that's true. Unfortunately, if only it had.
It would have been a lot easier for him if they just had like a mechanical malfunction. He's like, I didn't take my time.
Is that a John Henry? Is it an Uber driver versus a Waymo?
That is a funny take town. On it.
He dies at the end for some reason. It's like, why did he die? He's just driving a car. And Paul, where do you drive cars and Ubers and Waymos?
On roads. I knew exactly where you're going with that.
Yeah. On roads that are located in
the city. We're doing the city right. For this episode.
In the city.
Do you consider yourself as living in a city right now, or do you consider the part of West Sac you're in a little bit like suburby?
I live in a weird industrial suburby part of Sacramento, yeah. I mean, I've said this before, but Sacramento maps onto Columbia like 1-to-1. West Sacramento is very much like West Columbia. It's kind of weird and suburby, but also weirdly industrial. But yeah, I'm not in the city. I would consider living in the city either downtown or midtown.
So have you ever lived in a city then? I guess Columbia. Yeah, you've lived in Columbia proper.
In Columbia, yeah.
Which, that is one of the funny things about cities. I don't know if it's the most important thing that we need to start on, but people's idea of the big city being the biggest city that's near them. So you get these people who... Like, my brother's in-laws, Charleston's, like, the big city. They'll be like, this is just too hectic for us. We could never live here. And it's like, it's Charleston. Oh, yeah. You know?
You can't live there because the rent's too high.
Charleston is the most sleepy and, like, family-safe of any possible city you could ever get to. You know? It's like treating it like this big, hectic, fast-moving, fast-living place.
It's a huge tourist destination, but, like, the streets are literally cobblestone. You can't go that fast.
So there's definitely like tiers to how city various cities.
Do people
feel.
In Charleston even complain about traffic? Like, what's going on? Like, I don't know. At any point, you could just take a riverboat where you need to go.
Yeah. You kind of get the vibe of what I'm saying. I guess Greenville is a similar city. Columbia has a little bit more of like a city feel than both of those.
It's big, like it's sprawling. It's not like big though.
Yeah, it's wide, I mean, we're not definitely tall. Still in the realm of like small to mid-sized cities, but Atlanta's. That's a real big city.
That's the big city.
The most familiar real big city to us. I've lived in Charlotte and D.C. now. And D.C.'s bigger than any of those cities in South Carolina, but it still doesn't give off like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like a Chicago or a New York or an Atlanta at all. I don't know. In some ways, it feels bigger than Charlotte. Yeah, it feels like a bigger city than Charlotte, I guess.
Hey, I've said this fun fact before. Charlotte's got more people than San Francisco.
Yeah, but all those stats have to do with, like, sprawl, you know? Okay, I kind of rounded up the cities I've lived in or been associated with. How about you, Adrian?
Oh, that I've been associated with? Oh, my city.
Yeah.
Houston's my city.
Okay, Drake.
Oklahoma City's my city. Okay, Toronto's Drake. My city.
Okay.
No, the cities I've been associated with, Columbia, Sacramento. That's it. Mm-hmm. Yaktown in this bitch, which Sacramento famously not Yaktown for the later third segment quiz, just so you know.
Oh, is it gonna be an Uzbekistani town that's Yaktown because they actually like milk yaks there or something?
No, Yaktown, people always say that in battle rap. It's Pontiac, Michigan is Yaktown.
Oh,
if you're from Pontiac, I don't know if it's a big enough city for it to have its own battle rap culture, but enough people are from there that Yaktown's Pontiac.
How do you compare a Sacramento to a Columbia?
They're similar in vibe, but it is like if you if you do that thing where you control shift and take a picture and make it 1.5 times bigger or 2 times bigger, that's basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
With Columbia to Sacramento. But yeah, they're not that different.
Do you like the accessibility of stores? What's like entertainment that's available?
Ooh, I don't know what the food desert situation in Columbia is, but yeah, when I was unemployed, that's the thing I always said was like, yeah, it's nice that I live in like, you know, when like kids in kindergarten get like a little playmat that shows you what a town's supposed to look like? That's what Sacramento is like my post office is right next to my library, which is right next to 4 different grocery stores, which is right next to like 5 different international grocery stores, which is right next to like, I think everything besides a movie theater is there. Like, yeah, It's all right there.
That's kind of how certain neighborhoods in Charlotte felt, where like each neighborhood would have like a grocery store, some good bars,
a little like Harris Teeter.
Yeah. Some stuff to do. DC is a little bit more where it's like there's neighborhoods that have like good food or good entertainment, but then you're like nowhere near a grocery store, or like neighborhoods that are more walkable. Mm. You know, it feels like there's like almost districts where things are better for. But I do really like DC. It's very walkable. The public transit's really good. California, famously not good public transit, right?
Yeah, not really, no. Except for maybe the Bay.
Sacramento, no, not at all.
We have some regional transit. We have some buses. There's lots of ways to, like, if I needed to get to work by a bus, it would take me like an hour instead of 20 minutes drive, like 15 minutes driving, yeah.
Yeah, Charlotte's bus and light rail system weren't good, but if you lived in exactly the right place as they were serviceable, like I happened to live on a bus route when I first moved there, that was perfect for getting like uptown for work. And then after that, I lived next to a light rail that was perfect for getting to work. But I think for the majority of residents and where they work, it's not so convenient. It's really just made for the people who work uptown and live on the rail.
Not a lot of ways to get to the Speedway or Doc's Barbecue.
Not a lot of ways to get to the Speedway.
I assume that's where most people in Charlotte work. I don't know.
No, the Speedway is actually pretty far out of town. That's close to university. But yeah, I guess that's been a nice part of DC is very good public transit. Very clean, too. So it's not one of those things where conservatives can complain about it. Mm-hmm. It's all very clean and safe.
Great for playing heads up.
Although I guess they did complain about it. Trump did make it like a pillar of his administration that DC was dangerous, but it's felt like one of the safest places ever to me. Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that's one of the main brain worms that gets people is cities are, other than them being too fast for rural folks, too fast living.
Yeah.
There's also the dynamic of them being too dangerous.
Yeah.
And me and Adrian can't speak to that as well, I think, because, I mean, neither me or you are particularly like vulnerable communities. That's my, I guess, qualifier for, I think people who complain about dangerous cities are, unless you're like an extremely like vulnerable person, it feels a little bit bitch made.
Oh yeah.
It feels like people panicking because they've walked next to a homeless person. But I guess I don't want to be dismissive of the fact that people do get hurt sometimes. And I mean, I guess if you're like a woman living alone, it's a scarier situation than for me and you.
No, I don't think that's true. I think Doralee works in downtown Portland, and when she tells me the stories of people coming into her work and being like, I thought this was supposed to be a battleground. You guys are just hanging out and chilling. It's always a white dude. Well, it's never like a disabled trans woman. It's always like a white dude who's like, I thought this was supposed to be a crazy place.
Yeah, I think what gets me is when you meet like a mid-20s guy, and this has happened to me a couple times now, so I think I can authoritatively say that I agree with Doralee. It is always like a mid-20s white guy who visits Chicago and will come back and be like, it felt so scary there. And I'm like, what did you do when you were in Chicago? It felt so regular to me. Like, did you go to O Block? Like, I just cannot imagine hanging
out.
That
was part of my plan, yeah.
I cannot imagine hanging out in the touristy parts of Chicago and feeling in danger. I'm not saying that there aren't dangerous parts of that city, but like, what did you do that made you feel in danger as a mid-20s white man? Like, how did you find yourself in a sketchy part of town?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we were there for a while. And I didn't even one time get the sense of, like, I could see how a person would feel in danger here. So I was like, where are these people going?
I don't know. We were in at least one pretty scary place.
Okay, was I with you?
Yeah, we were literally in a dungeon trying to escape it.
Yeah, but when we got out, that guy was so nice.
Yeah, it's true. The guy who trapped us in there was really nice about it.
He gave us an extra 20 minutes in the dungeon because he was like, you guys almost got it.
That's true. That's true. He took $50 from me.
A man trapped me in a dungeon and took my money, Paul.
It took $50 from me.
All right, what else about cities? Convenient. Things are usually in walking distance, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Expensive for rent.
Expensive.
I'm getting to that point where I always ask my friends what their rent is. I have a few friends who live alone in the middle of the city, and I'm like, that's crazy work. And I know a few people who are like, yeah, there's a guy in my building. And like every time they say it, they're like, oh, he's a lawyer. He's a doctor. It's always like, okay, that makes sense. I don't know why you're living there, but the people who do live there make sense. And then like every time you go to like a certain part of town and people are like, oh, yeah, I know a guy who lives in that building. And it's like, that's crazy. I always thought I would never interact with the kind of people who live on top of the businesses in the middle of downtown.
In Charlotte, I knew a couple of those people. I think what gets me about those buildings is they kind of felt like how the USC dorms felt, where it's like, why do I have to talk to a guy to get in here? And
Yeah.
I mean, is it just a money thing for you, or is it like, I feel uncomfortable living in such close proximity to so many people? Like, I want a little bit more breathing room.
No, I don't really care about that. Yeah, for me, it's more just like, I probably would. It would be nice to be able to walk to work. I guess I can bike to work. And then, yeah, Like, my friends who live downtown, they save money in ways that doesn't really add out once you, like, calculate everything. But, like, being able to go to the stadium downtown without having to pay for parking or, like, stuff like that. Like, yeah, that's pretty nice.
I do like being able to drink within walking distance of my place. It really takes a whole headache out of, like, going out, you know? I guess public transport is good for that, too, because you can get anywhere in D.C., have a good time, and get back home.
Yeah, one of the things that I've learned from being in a river city is that trying to replace driving with biking makes certain things really funny. Like getting to Natomas, where I'm cat sitting right now, is like a 13-minute drive across the interstate, but it is over a river. So like, if you want to bike it, you have to bike like 50 minutes around all the way through downtown, back through another part, into the back around. You have to make a big U.
Do you want to get into my column?
Yeah, let's hear what you got.
All right, we got Caroline Hacks from the Washington Post. Dear Caroline, I got my dream job last year and moved to New York City. I found a decent place to live with three compatible roommates, and I'm figuring things out and loving life. My parents, on the other hand, are miserable. They live only a few hours away in a small town and think I am going to get killed or robbed living where I do. They can't accept that I can take care of myself. They call me every day. I answer when I can, but it's not always convenient. Sometimes I'm asleep, sometimes it's too early, and sometimes I'm just busy and don't want to talk to them or anyone else for that matter. When I don't answer, they immediately call my roommates, one after another. Then my roommates end up waking me up or texting me to call my parents so they stop freaking out. I understand my parents being nervous, but it's been 9 months now, and they're always calling about something unimportant that can wait. It's so embarrassing to explain to my roommates why my parents are calling them about me when I'm almost 25. I've asked my parents to stop, but they say they can't. So I told my roommates to block my parents' numbers. Yesterday, when I called my mom back, she was sobbing, saying my dad almost had a heart attack when they couldn't get a hold of any of us. He wanted to call the police. I tried to talk to him, but he was too mad at me to take my call. I don't know what to do. I want to live my life, but I hate upsetting them this way.
Well, that took a turn.
Why did it take a turn?
I was ready to give the advice that she should just block their have her roommates block their numbers. I was ready to give that advice, and then it went further from that.
Mm-hmm. But now it's about the interpersonal issues with her parents.
No.
I see what you were saying beginning. The main issue was her parents annoying her friends, but now it's moved to the main issue is my personal interpersonal relationship with my parents.
No, it's still at the end of the day how to make this sustainable.
No, here's what I like about this. She's already taken initiative to fix one problem. How many advice columns start with, I've already done something to improve the situation?
Mm-hmm.
This means this person's actually willing to hear advice, to change things, be dynamic.
So I think what you do is you tell them both of your roommates got new numbers. You give them one number, it's the rejection hotline. You give them the other one, it's some other kind of prank call.
Well, I think the roommate issue is fixed now. I mean, just let them keep the number blocked. Now the problem is explaining to your parents that they need to stop being drama queens.
Yeah.
Can we also start with a core issue that bothered me? She moved to New York City but wrote into the Washington Post.
Oh, yeah. Well, she can't afford the New York crimes.
I guess the ethicist can't handle this one.
Yeah.
Does the New York Times not have any other advice columns than The Ethicist? That feels like a lowball for them to bring in just a general advice column.
I don't know. John Hodgman? Is John Hodgman on the New York Times?
What turn of phrase am I thinking of? Not lowball.
Low-hanging fruit?
Low-hanging fruit. Thanks, mm-hmm. buddy. This is why I keep you around.
Ain't no worries.
Otherwise, this would be like Bill Burr's Monday morning podcast. I would just be talking to myself.
Yeah. Unbelievable. How many times did you get a phone call from a friend's parent asking where they were? Or a friend's sibling or a friend lab mate sibling? I guess you don't have lab mates, so that one doesn't ring for you.
It's happened once or twice. Not really in situations I want to elucidate here, but yeah, it's happened.
Oh, so actually serious situations.
Semi.
Okay.
Sorry.
So they knew when
that
to,
feels
they
like
knew
when
to...
somebody is vague posting on Facebook. I'm not trying to be mysterious.
Oh, I mean, I don't care. I'm not that interested.
I'll never tell.
It was a,
oh, you want to
it was
know?
A time where it was...
You never... You want to know?
But it was a time where you were like, that passes the threshold of like, I'm glad I got a call about this.
Oh, I don't want to give away too much information.
Oh, do tell.
No, not really. One of them just kind of made me feel uncomfortable because I was like, I think they're just not answering because they don't particularly want to talk to you. So it's like, what do I tell you?
No.
Have you?
Yeah, I got one from a person who I was like flirting with where her brother had her phone and was like, we haven't seen her for a couple of days. Do you know where she was? And I was like, hey, not me. I don't know what they get. That one ain't me.
That is crazy. Why did the brother have your number if you were flirting with her? I feel like you get the number once you're dating.
He had her phone.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
You never got a follow-up on this? Did you Google
her? I know they found her, yeah. Yeah, I know she, yeah, she was found.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why she was gone for like a day, yeah.
Without her phone?
Yeah.
Like, this sounds like it was an ongoing murder investigation.
No, I don't know. Who knows? Her favorite thing
why
to do
was her
was
last
to
text,
smoke
I'm coming
a blunt
to visit
and go on
you,
a long
Adrian,
drive.
In this empty alleyway.
And then the other one wasn't me. It was the scientist running the lab that I worked in undergrad. He gets a call from one of my lab mate's parents because our lab mate decided to take a trip to Cuba and apparently didn't tell his parents that he was going to be gone. And so the only number of someone who they knew in Colombia who knew what Patrick might be doing was the scientist advising him. And so they called Jeff and they were like, what's going on? He was like, oh, yeah, he told me he's in Cuba. And they're like, what? So yeah, he just came into lab like the next week being like, that happened. That was kind of funny.
Did you get a follow up on that? Like, why didn't you tell your parents you were going to be out of the country?
Oh, no, man. I don't understand how white kids interact with their parents, man. And then I think that might be it. When else have I received a phone call from somebody? I mean, there was the time where I was going to live with Phil and their parents wanted a spare key to our house so they could come check on us anytime.
I mean, that does feel similar to this. Yeah, this feels like... I mean, it feels similar to the first part of the problem, which is somehow feeling an ownership over their friendship situations or their roommate situations, which feels completely disconnected from like
that
parental
is crazy.
Duties.
It's like two other people who are either from New York or like also moved across the country to be a New Yorker. And they're like, I have to do this for my roommate. That's crazy.
So, yeah, you definitely don't have to deal with this. I think I do a little bit more than you, maybe not at like... Not at this level where there would be like rude to my friends or weird about it, but I do think my parents are the type where if I haven't answered in 2 days would become like concerned about my health for sure.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe your parents are like that. I don't know. Your mom just doesn't give off panicky vibes in the way that my mom has like that sort of anxiety and like,
My mom's the source. My parents, I have my dad who, is the most happy-go-lucky person in the world, and then my mom, who's the most anxious person in the world, and all three kids got her affect.
Okay, so she would if you didn't answer?
Yeah. She's terrified all the time. She thinks that if I call her and it's like a little bit late, like it's 9 p.m., she's like, oh no, Adrian's dead.
Oh, okay, so our moms are similar in that way. I don't know why I thought your mom was chill.
Yeah, she should be. She'd be puffing on that Chiba and hang out for a little bit instead of doing what she does.
Yeah, maybe this is just it goes away with time. Now that your roommates have blocked your parents so they can't annoy them, maybe give it another 5 or 6 months and they'll kind of get used to the idea. I don't know. How often can they call you, not get an answer, and panic before they learn to not panic?
That's honestly, that's it depends on what kind of parent you want to be to your parent. But yeah, some parents just let babies cry themselves out. That's sometimes they say that's what you got to do.
Other than cutting them off, which this doesn't feel like nearly a big enough issue to cut them off over. So I wouldn't recommend that at all. Yeah, you kind of just have to let it play out. I mean, you could try the mature conversation thing, but it seems like they're being babies about it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Would a mature conversation work? Maybe, but I could also see it just not working.
Yeah.
I guess try it. There's no reason not to. I'm just getting the vibe that maybe they wouldn't be receptive. And
they're going
to
play the first 5 minutes of Finding Nemo for you? What do you
think? Well, that wouldn't be a good example because the kid really was kidnapped.
That's what I was going to say. What do you think, like, because, like, if the worst thing happens to you, there's no I told you so, you'll be dead in a dungeon or whatever. What's the, you think, you getting robbed? What do you think would be, like, the most humiliating, like, damn, I'm going to have to tell my parents that this happened and that sucks?
Well, so getting kidnapped and put, like, in a man's trailer in the woods thing is not a city problem. That's, like, a...
No, he had to take you out of the city to do the things.
That's a rural
He couldn't do that
problem.
In the city. He couldn't afford it.
In the city, I guess, what, like a stray bullet from gang violence? That's the most likely thing to take you out of commission? I don't know.
You don't think getting robbed or something? Or I got scammed? That would probably be one. That would be one where they're like, yeah, we can't trust you to take care of yourself.
You're worried you're going to get got on three card Monty and they're going to be like, you lost all your money. And you're like, I thought I was due for a win. I thought I knew where the king was. He kept shuffling him around so fast. I don't know what happened.
Kept saying big money, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
You want to hear the professional's answer?
Yeah.
You are not upsetting them. You are an adult living a typical, safe, typical adult life that literally millions of other typical people are typically safely living. By that, I mean not entirely without risk, but with the kind of risks everyone assumes by living. So your parents are upsetting themselves with hysteria and unchecked ignorance. They are either demonstrating a need for either psychological care or political deprogramming, or both. Do they know your chance of being murdered today in New York City is roughly 1 in 8 million? Even one is tragic, yes, but also statistically...
Yeah, thanks, Zoran.
But also statistically freaking rare, which is the scientific term, by the way. I am sorry your parents are doing this to you, and to themselves, and your roommates, and soon to the cops, but the next steps are necessary. Make exactly one clear, kind, non-negotiable statement of intent. Mom, Dad, I love you and hear your worry, but your fear is not rational and panicked calls aren't acceptable. Millions live in New York literally. They survive it. I mean, explain the real estate prices otherwise. So I will not indulge your fear anymore. I won't discuss my safety. I will call to check in every blank, whatever time interval you can manage. I suggest once per week to start. Break their false assurance feedback dependency. Then I will block your number in between. Email me with anything time sensitive. If it is not time sensitive, then I will respond in my next scheduled call. You may need a friend to skim those emails for you at first. If you send the cops after me for living my life, then you will train them not to come if there is ever an emergency. So don't. I have people here looking out for me. 2. Understand the problem is way bigger than phone blocking. Sobbing, heart attack, 9 months of daily panic about one of the most popular hometowns on earth, but it's not your job to fix your parents. The blocking is merely to break the panic circuit and create space, which is your job. 3. In that space you give yourself, it's also on you to build emotional health. They've conditioned you to appease them, so you may need therapeutic support just to take the first step of blocking. There's no shame in that. It'll be a flat-out, grueling first few weeks as your parents overreact. A therapist might be the appropriate guide, not to mention the outlet you want if your roommates have had enough. You move to the city that terrifies your parents just to think about, so never minimize your own courage. You're also justifying to us strangers why you don't pick up every single one of these unhinged calls. So also never minimize how effectively your parents guilt-mapped your brain. It's a lot to navigate just as you're figuring things out and loving life. Meaning you gave yourself some crucial healthy distance by moving away. Now get some help with the rest.
Okay.
That felt like a very aggro answer. I mean, I think her parents are just worried about her dog. Like, chill.
Yeah.
Yes, they're overreacting, and yes, they sound intense, and she needs to put some distance, but, like, I don't know. Why did it sound like it was... Fucking shoot your parents, those conservative pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah, there was definitely a big error of that in it.
It's like, I don't know.
They need some political deprogramming.
I'm not necessarily convinced they're conservative. This could definitely just be regular liberal parents.
I mean, yeah, none of the actionable advice was wrong. The tone was kind of weird, but yeah, I mean, it was fine.
I don't like the weird rule setting of, like, here's... I guess maybe you have to if they're acting this intense.
That's what you gotta do. Yeah.
Sometimes when you say stuff like, I will only take an email, it's like, that's just a little too much. Just be like, it feels like they're never gonna abide by that, and it's just gonna create... It's like, what is it? It's that Donald Glover bit about, like, dolphin. I said dolphin. Like, Dad, I said you can only email me on Tuesdays. Enforcing the rules is going to become a weirder tension than if you just set a, like, let's be normal sort of vibe.
I think that's giving them too much credit for a man who had a heart attack.
Almost had a heart attack.
Yeah.
That conservative piece of shit. Hey, one less Trump voter. Don't call him back for that 2 weeks Charlie and we'll Kirk get rid of...
piece of shit.
We'll get rid of one more Trump voter when he actually has a heart attack. Ignore him.
Ooh. We are Charlie Kirk, we carry the flame. All right, you want to go hear my column?
I do.
All right, so this is Toronto Life, City News, Dear Urban Diplomat. My boyfriend refuses to turn on the AC. It's been punishingly hot, and he won't even let me crank it when we had guests over. How can I get him to chill out? If air conditioning is installed in an apartment, shouldn't it be a human right to use it? No matter how sweltering the day, my boyfriend refuses to turn it on. He's from France, and apparently they don't use it much there. He wouldn't even indulge me when we had guests over for dinner, forcing us to ignore one another's sweat patches as we perspired into our linguine. How can I get him to chill out and let me crank the AC? From Losing My Cool, St. Clair, West Village.
They're going to start using it more and more.
Yeah, there's a lot of heat deaths in Europe because they're generally unprepared in their infrastructure for housing, right?
I mean, I've heard that obviously, like, global warming doesn't mean the entire world's going to become, like, unbearably hot desert, but there are regions that are going to get hit harder by higher temperatures, and I think Europe.
Well, it also just means, like, what you're prepared for, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing about Europeans not having AC is very true. My brother has told me about that.
I mean, I think it's probably more common to have, like, a wall unit somewhere like Paris. Mm-hmm. But I think when you get up into, like, the Netherlands and Denmark, like, yeah, it's like zero AC sort of situations. Same with Lebanon, and it gets pretty uncomfortably hot there.
It's only like 1 week a year. I mean, even Portland's like that. It really has to very specifically choose a place with AC. So it is interesting to think about that, of living in a place that normally didn't need AC. But I know,
especially
I've had
places
the,
with historic construction, it's like the best you can do is a window unit in a lot of situations. Like, you're not retrofitting an old building with central AC, you know.
But this is an argument that I've had in living in cities and non-cities before. But the AC is always an issue with me and my roommates.
You want it colder, or you want to save electricity?
I want it colder. I'm a hot boy, especially in the summer. I would much rather never turn on the heat, which I do now because my roommate's a chilly lady. I would much rather never turn on the heat at any point and just pour all of our utility money into AC during the summer.
And I don't know if this would necessarily be a problem that was fixed if I lived somewhere I owned, but one of the things about living in places you rent is that you always have the worst central, like, heating and AC, where certain rooms don't get just, like, much colder than other rooms inexplicably, or much hotter.
And then also, like, how much sun you get and when you get the sun or whatever, that's a big issue. I get a lot of morning sun, which I hate, but yeah, by the middle of the day I'm cooking. I don't know how it is in DC, but, like, yeah, I remember that was the culture shock thing of coming to California from South Carolina, where I was just like, in South Carolina everyone just blasts the AC all the time. It gets way hotter, but you, as long as you're inside, you're good. And then I just lived with people who were like, no, it's supposed to be miserable inside and outside. That's how you're supposed to live.
Yeah, I think I'm on your side. I am definitely a, like, I can bundle up and be cozy in the summer. Like, I don't need heat as much as I definitely feel attached to. You can't get any colder if it's uncomfortably hot. Like, I just want to turn the AC up. Mm-hmm. It is crazy how much it affects your bills, though. Like, you can save real money by just agreeing to be a little uncomfortably warm.
Yeah.
I mean, especially here in DC, the electricity prices, especially with these Northern Virginia data centers popping up, it's getting insane. It's getting expensive. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like this guy's on a real extreme end. This is like when we tackle a problem about how long you should keep food, where it's like, I could see both sides of it, but at least how it's being presented, you really make the other side seem unreasonable. You make it seem like they're not even letting you on the hottest
how
day.
How hot is it getting in Toronto?
That's true. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, there's probably like a week or two in Toronto where it's really hot and you can use an AC unit for 2 weeks, obviously.
Yeah, I'm on the question asker side.
Say, hey, look over there.
I'm on the question asker side. She should turn up the AC.
Well, he's making his linguine.
Yeah, especially cooking. That's going to make the place so hot.
Well, I don't think you need the oven to make linguine, but yeah.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, just turn on that AC, brother.
How can she convince him? Do you think this is like a cultural pride moment? Like, you know, sometimes people get attacked. Like, I've never needed it. Why would we use it here? And it's like, we live in a different situation now. We have it. Mm. You're not in France anymore. You don't. This isn't a bit of cultural pride you need to push on me.
We won the war. We won the war so that we could use AC.
I think they won the war too, right? I mean, we won the war for them, but...
Yeah, didn't we win a war against France at one point? No.
We're going further back. I thought we were World War II.
Yeah. No. If it wasn't for us, they'd be speaking German and not using AC.
I didn't know we were doing the French-American wars. Okay. But these are Canadians, Adrian, and not French-Canadians.
Oh, yeah.
This was a part of Canada ruled by Britain. I don't know if they ever won a war.
Never won a war in their goddamn life. You wait until he's gone, you turn on the AC, when he comes back and he's like, wow, it's really nice in here, you go, yeah. Yeah, it is.
You think that's how he'd react? You don't think he would walk in and be like, what the hell is this?
Why does it feel so different from outside to inside? It should feel the same.
You turn on the fucking AC, bitch.
You think he's lighting a cigarette?
My mistress will hear about this.
How am I supposed to decant my wine in this temperature? It's much too cold for the bouquet to bloom.
No, my fromage has melted. Oh, no.
Wait, that would be because it's too hot.
Adrian, I have to admit something to you. It was just me. It wasn't really a French man worried about his fromage, and I got the character a little mixed up.
Damn. Ain't that the way? No, my stinky cheese is not as stinky as it's supposed to be.
I want my fromage to melt a little bit.
It is only mildly odorous. Uh-huh.
I mean, this is all considering he can speak and he's not the mime-style French man.
Mime-style French, yeah. I don't know. Ladies, you want a good boyfriend, get yourself a mime-style French man that can't talk back. Enough with this already. Come on. Good with his hands. Knows how to dress.
We're all looking for a man who's not so toxically masculine that he can wear a full face of white makeup.
How comfortable do you feel being a guest in someone's house and asking them to turn the AC up?
I usually don't, unless it's, like, egregious.
If you're sweating into your linguine?
Yeah, if I'm sweating. Oh, for just a dinner, I don't think I would at all. I think if I was sleeping
somewhere.
What if
you're staying the night?
Yeah, that's okay, when yeah, I would yeah. be like,
sleep's
okay.
Sleep's the big one.
Yeah.
Sleep's the big one, but also I have been around where I'm like, hey, it wouldn't kill you to turn on the AC while we're hanging out here today.
Yeah, especially, like, have you ever been in a big... like at a big party that's in an apartment and you're like, hey, I don't think you set this AC expecting so many warm bodies in the room. Maybe you should think about kicking it down a notch. But no, I've never said that. I've just thought that in my head. I mean, Phil has that great story about a guest who, what did they set his AC to?
They set his heat up, right? Or was it his AC?
It was like some egregious number. Like they turned his heat up to like 85. And he woke up and he was like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, that's crazy work. Well, you know what? I'm almost certainly sure Phil said make yourself at home at one point.
I'm sure he did, but that is funny. That's a good bit.
Yeah.
Maybe the person was uncomfortable. They just like leaving people with a story.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, when I went to go watch Julia's dog and I went to her house and I was like, why is it so hot in here? And she was like, I'm cold. And I was like, okay, I'm turning it off if I'm here. I envy cold people. Well, I envy cold people because I would love to be cold all the time, but also they are way more annoying than hot people.
Yeah, this is one of those
things. Can we say that? Can we put that on the record?
I agree with you.
Is that on gendered lines?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't people write those articles?
No, my friend Josh is also a cold person. He's a boy.
Yeah.
A nubile, manly boy.
I will say, the internet discourse does lump this in sometimes with the men are so annoying. Why are they never as cold as I am?
Oh, I don't think they're whining in that way. I think they're whining that people who are cold all the time will really let you know that they're cold all the time when they can just put a jacket on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm just saying, I think people feel a certain type of way about this.
Well, if this is what gets me canceled, so be it, so be it.
Yeah, I know. Why am I walking on eggshells on this bullshit issue?
This is supposed to be a hard-hitting journalism besides Israel.
The number one rule of middle school journalism, don't ever, ever call Israel an apartheid state. How do you think she can tackle the issue? Do you think there's a cultural pride, or do you think that she's just kind of, I don't know. It feels like if she's bringing up the French thing, it's because he uses that as an argument. Like, oh, in France, we don't turn it on. It's like, well, that's bullshit. We do here.
Yeah, maybe it's because they're struggling financially. But otherwise, why would you not want your partner to be comfortable? Isn't that a bigger thing to think about in your relationship?
You know those people who it's like in the South who moved from the North who are so proud about how well mm-hmm. they can handle the cold. And it's like, okay, but you're in the South now. So I don't care about your pride over being a Northerner.
Yeah, those were the most annoying people, too.
It always manifested with, like, why are they shutting down schools? If it snowed 10 feet, we would go to school up in Wisconsin. It's like, well, you're not in fucking Wisconsin anymore. What is this weird point of cultural pride? That's the sense I'm getting from this, is he's doing one of those. He's doing one of those, we had it. This is how we did it in France. Yeah. I'm so proud of that. This is...
But you, part of it also
as a Frenchman,
like-
I would never turn on the AC. That would make me a weak Frenchman.
Yeah, part of it also feels like he would be more comfortable then, like what I was saying earlier then. If that's what it is, then he would also feel more comfortable. He just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And so I think you guys should just realize that it's you and him versus the problem, and the problem is it's too goddamn hot in here.
Give him an ultimatum. It's me or the no AC. Give him an ultimatum. It's me or the no AC.
I think he comes out worse in that situation. If you guys break up because he refuses to turn on the AC, he seems like the crazy one.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any situation where you go like, she's going to break up with me, but I didn't turn on the AC. And I think most people would be like, yeah, that makes sense. It sucks.
I don't know. This is one of those things where it would be so unreasonable to break up with somebody, but also, could you live the rest of your life with somebody who made you live in a constant heat? Like, it is a weird... It's both a small issue and imagining the rest of your life without AC. Oh. It feels like a big issue.
You know what you do? You get a dog with breathing problems.
Oh, so it's not you. It's the animal.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who use their pet to rationalize overspending money on AC.
Yeah. Well, people with pets are just overspending money on everything.
Yeah. They love it. That's their favorite thing to do. So yeah, make it it's your fur baby's issue. He can't breathe. Little Francois is going...
Is that something you know specifically about, like, dogs with breathing problems? It's like a temperature thing? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they overheat. That's what panting does, is it cools them down.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. That's how my neighbor's French bulldog died. Got too hot on a South Carolina summer day, and it overheated.
That is so sad.
It's on them for liking stupid purebred dogs.
Oh, okay. Cool, I'm ready for the answer if you are.
All right, yeah, let's end on that note. All right. 2, losing my cool. Try to persuade him with the facts. Oh, we got Ben Shapiro over here. No wonder you love this guy. Heat domes are making AC a necessity, not a privilege, and the city is considered regulating maximum temperatures in apartments because of health risks. Or you could join the legions of passive-aggressive people who wage silent wars on their partners by adjusting the thermostat to their preference each time they walk by. Well, that was it. Okay. No ultimatum.
No ultimatum.
That was crazy advice from you.
I agree with it. Dump him, honey.
I agree with the turning the thermostat that you guys have, obviously, every time you walk by it.
Trick him with a sticker on top of the thermostat so he thinks it's set higher than it is.
Oh, yeah. Tell him it's in Celsius. That way he walks by and he goes, "Sac mon bleu." It's so hot in here. My croissants will never proof in this temperature. I can't leave out my Normandy butter in this temperature.
My what? My Normandy what?
My Normandy butter.
Oh. Is that a famous German type of butter?
Yeah, they make it in Normandy.
Hey, those two things I know about Normandy is we fucking landed on that shit and they make good butter.
And they churn it up.
Churn it
they
up.
They crank it there. I do like, I don't know why crank is always the verb for an AC, but that is, I like that they said that in the question. He won't let me crank it, even when there's people coming over.
Even when I'm watching my DVD copy, a crank.
I can't crank it. Folks, I can't crank it when I crank it.
I'm cranking it. And then I'm playing won't let Donkey crank
Kong
it.
And I get Cranky Kong. I'm going to crank it. I'm cranking Donkey Kong. Folks.
Folks.
I'm doing that Soulja Boy in here. Let me crank it. All right, you want to do third segment?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, we got a quiz from wanderlust.com. How well do you know city nicknames around the world? From white cities to pink cities to the Big Apple and Big Smoke. Let's put your knowledge to the test.
Even that title got me sweating because I feel like I should know what the Big Smoke is, and I do not. But let's go.
Oh, well, let's start with an easy one. Which of these cities is known as the Big Smoke? New York, Paris, London, or Barcelona? London's got the big smoky thing, right?
But I've never... Has it been called the Big Smoke? But why would Barcelona be called the Big Smoke?
I don't think Paris has.
I'm going to go with London just because it feels like an Englishism. There's something about the word smoke.
Are we playing against each other? What are we doing?
Let's play together because I think we'll both be bad at this. I'll let you do it on your phone. Let's play together. You can veto me.
All right. I'm gonna say London. And that's green, baby. Unless green in this quiz means not correct and it's very bad UI. All right. Number two, another easy one, literally. By the way, I think there's 14 questions in this quiz. Which U.S. city is known as the Big Easy? Also, I did want to make sure when I was looking for a quiz that we got an international one. There were a lot of U.S. quizzes, but I was like, let's take an internationalist perspective on this one. But the Big Easy, Las Vegas, Chicago, New Orleans, Philadelphia.
New Orleans, right?
I'm going to veto you on that. It's Las Vegas.
Wow. You see, I don't know these things.
No, it is New Orleans, obviously. Dozens of cities around the world claim to have been built on seven hills. But what city does the nickname most commonly refer to? Why is it a common thing to say that you were built on seven hills?
I don't know.
The city of seven hills. Rome, Italy. Marseille, France. Lisbon, Portugal. Or Zagreb, Croatia.
I want to say Rome. I don't know. I mean, Rome was famously like...
Is Rome hilly? I think it's kind of hilly,
It was
right?
definitely built on two hills, because that's the whole Romulus and Remus thing, as they both were beefing about what hill to put it on. But I think that there's seven hills around there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they had five more of them things?
Yeah, like seven birds landed on, or 12 birds, I don't know, some amount of birds landed on one hill, and Romulus would see, this is the hill we should put it on, the gods favor me because birds landed here, and then... Seven birds flew over the other hill, and Remus was like, "Nah, that means they favor me." But then the other one was like, "Nah, they landed on my hill. That's more important than the fact that they flew over your hill." And then they killed each other. I think
a very detailed story of minutia. So you think it's Rome? That's interesting. I guess Rome is hilly. I think I was gonna say Lisbon, maybe, but maybe Rome. You want to go with Rome?
For some reason, I feel like Rome and hills are connected. For sure. I mean, definitely the origin story is two hills.
Hey, Rome, Italy is correct. We're three in. Which capital is known as the City of 100 Spires? Okay, this might be harder, actually. I think maybe going international with this made it much more difficult. Riga, Latvia, Prague, Czechia, Moscow, Russia, or Krakow, Poland? City of 100 Spires. That's Moscow, right? Because it has the architecture of the little doobly-doos.
Can you name the other ones again? We had Croatia and somewhere in Croatia and Prague.
Prague, Czechia, Riga, Latvia, and Krakow, Poland.
Oh, I know so little about the like Baltic states. I'm okay with Moscow because I really don't. Yeah. But Poland sounds like it's a possibility too. But yeah, let's go.
Shout out
let's
Nicole.
Go Moscow because you had the most compelling reason.
Well, we got our first one wrong. And apparently it does tell you if you're wrong. It was Prague, Czechia.
Oh.
What city in India is nicknamed the Pink City?
Oh.
Mumbai, Delhi, Kolkata, or Jaipur? Mumbai sounds the most pink.
What were the other options? We had Jaipur. We had Delhi. I don't think it's Delhi. And what was the other one?
Kolkata.
Yeah, I'm okay just rolling the dice random.
So anyone but Delhi. I'm going to go Jaipur. Any of that one?
Sure.
Correct. You got it right, baby. Light work.
Yeah, does it not give you a little explanation? I feel like we should go back at the end and do a quick, just a quick Google about, like, what are the famous 100 spires?
Okay.
Peru's second largest city is known as the White City. What is it called? Pisco, Cusco, Chiclayo, or Arequipa?
I think we're going to go with Cusco because that's the name of the main character. Because
that's just the second biggest city, right?
Oh, okay. Not because that's...
Oh, you're going to say the Emperor's New Groove?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they would get it from,
since
right?
Since he's an emperor, yeah. It felt like maybe his whole thing is building... Like, White City sounds regal. I don't know. It felt like maybe they took the name from a historic regal city.
I mean, Cusco was an Incan emperor.
Oh.
Spelled differently than the way that Disney spells it. Pisco is a type of liquor. I don't know if that's a city, unless that's where they make Pisco, in which case...
I mean, the rest have been cities, so I assume that's a Peruvian city. Probably where they make that liquor?
Probably. I guess that's what they do in Guatemala and Zacapa. Do you want to go for Cusco? I assume that's the second biggest city.
Yeah, let's do it.
Nope. It was Arequipa.
Arequipa.
So I think it was like the last one where we didn't even hover over the right answer at any point. Number 7. Keeping up with the color theme here, which African city is known as the City of Gold? Accra, Ghana, Johannesburg, South Africa, Harare, Zimbabwe, or Windhoek, Namibia? Why would there be gold in Johannesburg?
It's definitely not that. I'm thinking it's... Who was that king who famously went on a pilgrimage where he gave away so much gold on his way to Mecca that it, like, actually fucked up inflation all throughout, like, North Africa and the Middle East?
Mansa Musa?
Yeah, Mansa Musa, right?
Yeah.
Was he...
I was between Ghana or Zimbabwe.
I mean, it seems like maybe that would have been in the Ghana-ish region, so...
Mm. And that's why it's the capital city? That makes sense.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Ghana.
Okay. Accra, Ghana. It was Johannesburg.
That's the one we immediately ruled out. Okay. I went down a hole wrong because I was thinking like the western part of Africa was where that guy was from, that king was from. So I was just...
Where the silver is. I think that is where he's from.
Yeah. But my whole like logical steps were failed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Clearly, it's the Golden City for a completely different reason.
Which city is known as the City of Snails? Sydney, Australia, Brisbane, Australia, Wellington, New Zealand, or Auckland, New Zealand?
Oh, Brisbane is sleepy, man. That's got to be the City of Snails.
Oh, I was going to guess Auckland. It seemed like a New Zealand thing to be a city of... Oh, wait. I'm an idiot. It's City of Sails, not City of Snails.
Okay.
They're all near water. Sydney seems like a contender now.
Oh, yeah, that does feel like somewhere... Well... City of Sails gives off, because it could be two things, right? It could be like where explorers used to stop, or it could be like a yachting city. I guess Sydney gives off yachting vibes for some reason to me. But if it's like explorers, New Zealand almost makes more sense to me. Like, is it where sails, like where explorers used to land? What was the New Zealand city? Is it one I would recognize?
Wellington or Auckland?
Oh.
I know Auckland.
I know the name, yeah.
You think the people in Auckland, when they do something kind of weird, they go, Auckland.
I don't know it. I'm sure of it.
I think Sydney. I say just go biggest city here.
Just go biggest city. Let's do it. I mean, I guess that would have worked with Johannesburg.
And it was Auckland, New Zealand. Auckland. Man, we're boofing it on this quiz. South Korea's former capital has been nicknamed the Museum Without Walls. Name it. Busan. Gyeongju. Incheon, Daejeon.
I think Busan is the most famous one, so I'm going to go with that was most likely to be their former capital before Seoul.
All right. That's where the train with the zombies is going. And it was Gyeongju.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Museum Without Walls is a cool-ass name.
Mm, yeah, that actually is sick.
I like that. Elsewhere in Asia, where would you find the Lion City? Beijing, China, Tokyo, Japan, Singapore, Bangkok, Thailand. I think we can take out Beijing and Tokyo. It's definitely Singapore or Bangkok, right?
Yeah. Which one of them? Singapore, Bangkok.
I think maybe I'm just thinking of Singha, the Thai beer that has the lion on it.
Does their flag have a lion on it too? Which makes it seem...
Like it could be Thailand. Are there lions in Thailand?
I don't think so.
I think there's more likely to be tigers, right? Are you allowed to look at the flag while we're doing this?
Okay. It does not have a lion on the flag.
Maybe it is Singapore then. I don't think any of them have lions, though.
Singapore's thing seems like it would be something to do with, like, business or shipping. So maybe we just go Thailand because of the beer.
It was Singapore.
Damn. I'm failing.
That's Lion City, baby. That's big Lion City, baby. Oh, I think we do know this one. Which city is known as the Paris of Middle East? Beirut.
Yeah.
Lebanon. Amman, Jordan. Dubai, United Arab Emirates, or Damascus, Syria?
Beirut.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's correct. All right. Which South American city is known as the City of Fury thanks to the song from rock band Soda Stereo? Santiago, Chile, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Lima, Peru, or Medellin, Colombia?
I mean,
City of Fury thanks to a song from a rock band.
For me, Buenos Aires seems like the most... It has such a Western vibe that if a rock band was gonna... But I've been misleading us with my A to B-ing logic so far, so maybe that's a good reason to just discount Buenos Aires.
My A to C logic was that it would be Santiago.
Okay.
Because Chile is a rockin' place. I don't think it's Lima, Peru. And I don't... And maybe it's Colombia.
Yeah, it's tough to know. I mean, I really City don't have...
Soda Stereo. Do you think that they're from Soda City, Columbia, South Carolina, and that's why they wrote about Columbia, the country? Is that an A to B?
No, I don't think that's true.
All right, then go to Santiago. It was Buenos Aires. So you're going to take your advice on that one. City of Fury. I was there. It was not a City of Fury as much as it was about quiet contempt.
Well, clearly at this point, I'm so wrong that you should have heard me say that I...
You got to wrap back around. Yeah. Oh, okay, here we go. We got an easy one. What U.S. city is nicknamed Beantown? Mm. Baltimore, Maryland, Birmingham, Alabama, Buffalo, New York, or Boston, Massachusetts?
Boston.
I'm going Beantown, Boston, Boston. And then this is the last one. Many industrial cities around the world have earned the nickname Manchester of blank country. Which of these is not among them? Ahmedabad, India, Gdansk, Poland, Tampere, Finland, or Brno, Czechia? Which one is not the Manchester of their respective country?
We had...
Poland, Gdansk.
Gdansk and Poland. I mean, that's a famous enough city in its own right that I don't think they would name it after a British city. That seems a little bit odd. Where in Czechia?
We have Tampere, Finland, and Brno, Czechia.
Brno
sounds like where the working class people live.
Tampere, Finland. I don't know anything about that. To me, Gdansk is too famous a city in its own right to have, like, a nickname that makes it a...
Who's from Gdansk?
It's just a city I know. I don't know Brno, Czechia. I know Gdansk.
Okay. I'll buy it. 7 out of 14, because we got that one right. So, yeah. Everyone outside of Manchester of... we know why Beantown is Boston. We know why City of Fury is Buenos Aires. We know why Beirut is Paris. Do you want to look up why Singapore is the Lion City?
Ooh, okay. Gemini said, because the 14th century Sumatran prince Sang Nila Utama allegedly saw a creature he believed was a lion upon landing on the island, which he took as a sign of good fortune.
Sure. Johannesburg, why is that the gold city? I assume the white city and pink city is probably some kind of like mineral deposit.
Oh, just because the world's largest discovery of a deposit of gold in 1886.
Damn. Okay, so we did have the right idea.
This one seems like not as well known. Because it's like multiple series are being pitched, but...
So the quiz was trying to fuck us.
Okay, here's one site is saying that it's because it was built with white volcanic stone.
Ah, mineral deposits. That's what I was saying.
Because of the architecture. All right, what were the other ones? 100 Spires?
And then Jaipur, Pink City, yeah.
It said that Prince Albert nicknamed Jaipur the Pink City because of... In 1876... Queen Victoria's son, Albert Edward, Prince of Wales, visited India. At the time, pink was a symbolic color of hospitality. As the people of Jaipur are known for incredible hospitality, Prince Albert nicknamed Jaipur the Pink City. And Prague is called the City of 100 Spires because of the skyline, dominated by historic church towers, Gothic spires, and Baroque domes.
All right, that works for me. Paul, big fact, no cap, let's get out of here.
All right, cool. My big fact is that I don't think I stated this earlier in the pod, but I don't think I'm made to live anywhere where I have to drive 30 minutes to go somewhere interesting or find entertainment. I do think I need to live at least within city limits for the rest of my life. I just cannot imagine moving back to like suburbia.
All right.
Maybe I could do like, I see kind of maybe the part of Sac you live in as like a growing older sort of situation. I don't need to be in a city, but I don't think I could be too far.
And my no cap is Country road, take me home to the place I belong.
South Carolina,
Rock Hill, take me home where I belong. All right, that's it, everybody.